All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at FLA 6 in the main event, no less, and that transpires on November the 19th. It's a flyweight bout as Jake Kelly takes on Nigel Croswell, and happy to be talking to Jake on today's show. How's the day going so far there, man?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I appreciate you having me on here now, and, you know, just finishing up some chores. You know, Sundays are supposedly a day of rest, but more of a day of prepping for the week.
Yeah, no, for sure. I like to try to use my Sundays for, you know, stuff like that as well. And yeah, I mean, this is a great time in the career, just in the sense of you're getting ready to, you know, transition from the amateur MMA run to making the pro debut. Like, why did now kind of, I guess, feel like the right time to be making that maneuver after like a handful of AMI fights there?
It just, I'll be honest, it kind of feels a little bit of a long time coming. I moved out here in 2018 knowing that I wanted to work on my amateur record a little bit more. Moved out, sorry, to Halifax, sorry, from Newfoundland. COVID kind of put a little bit of a stifle to my progression when it came to my transition from amateur to pro. And actually during the kind of lockdown quarantine period, I did have like a professional fight scheduled, but it fell through with a few things that kind of financial and medical issues that kind of came up. But you know, they say everything happens for a reason. So here I am now, and I'm just real excited to get this, get the whole pro career going.
Yeah, and from what I'm hearing, like, because I was noticing on the, you know, Tapology that you did have that canceled bout, and you know, it had been around like 3 years since you last competed. But obviously, the pandemic and some of those aforementioned, like medical and, you know, financial reasons getting in the way. But even in that being said, like, it strikes me as a situation where you're still actively like training and building upon skills and everything.
Never stop. I never stop. I love this sport so much. I started off as a, you know, just a young martial artist. My father was my original instructor. So it was never, I'm going to train and get ready for a fight. It's always been, I just live the martial arts lifestyle and continue to improve myself as a martial artist, as an individual, and just as a man in whole. So, you know, it's never ending. I love the journey, and I'm going to continue to do so as long as I can.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about some of the places you've gotten and work at. It seemed like Team Fortitude, like a few years back in Bridgewater, was like a good kind of space. But it seems like now you're working with like the legendary Peter Martel and also Kevin Taylor at Titans MMA. Is that the main space you're training at lately?
That was the main space that I've been training at for since 2018 till recently. Recently, I've actually moved over to Dartmouth in Tower 1 with Gavin Tucker. Gavin obviously being an alum of Titans, and he expressed the want to open up his own place, and I didn't hesitate. I've known Gavin since I was 16 years old. Just by happenstance, we were at a grappling tournament one time, and he happened to be there and kind of saw something in me, I guess, and told me if I ever wanted to fight to get in contact with him, and he'd put me in the right way. And later on, he was the one that kind of brought me into Titans, training at a Fortitude. As much as I appreciate those guys, I don't get too over there too often, but I do appreciate those guys over there helping me out and getting some extra rounds in and stuff like that with like Robbie Innes and his son. So yeah, it's a bit of a smaller community here in Nova Scotia. So, you know, as much as we're all looking for fights, we still do support each other and love the game.
Yeah, it seems like a great combination in the sense of there's that, you know, familiarity that I would think would come from knowing someone since you were like 16, but also getting in that great work with someone who's got, you know, such, you know, notable UFC experience. So must be great on both of those ends, I would think.
It's so valuable. It's just the experience that he has, and I'm obviously biased, but I almost consider Gavin a little bit of like a savant when it comes to combat sports. The effort and time that he puts into it and the attention to detail that he pays to the sport, it's inspiring, and I'm really grateful to have him in my corner.
Yeah, and I'm curious, like you talk about him being in your corner in a broader kind of sense, who's going to be in your actual corner for this upcoming fight here?
Right now, it's Gavin Tucker, a young up-and-coming amateur athlete that's making his debut eventually. He hasn't made it yet, but he's coming up. A young man named Sam Reno. He's been my main training partner throughout this camp, and he's been one of my main training partners throughout my career here in Nova Scotia and here in Halifax and Dartmouth. And then Coco McNeil is my striking coach, my Muay Thai and striking coach. So that's the people I choose to go to battle with, and I couldn't be more proud of the personalities and the character that I have there.
Oh yeah, all great individuals that you kind of rattled off there, but it's kind of an interesting connectivity from your last fight to this one, just in the sense of you avenged the lone amateur loss to Corey Forsyth at FLA 1, and you're getting ready to turn pro in like the big main event fight at FLA 6. Can you speak to, I guess, competing under the FLA banner once again, and if there's that certain level of, I mean, I guess maybe like compounded, you know, comfortability as you, you know, compete in the same promotion time and again?
Yeah, every fight's different, right? So it doesn't really make too much an effect on me, but there is some familiarity. I know the promotion is going to be professional. I know the promotion is going to have everything in line. And, you know, I'm just grateful for the opportunity that they're having me back. I would have been fighting on a whole bunch of their other cards if the timing would work out. And there was a period of time where it was really difficult to find me an opponent. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity at this point.
Yeah, for sure. And then speaking to, you know, that opportunity, just talking about, you know, Nigel Croswell here, like he's someone who has over like a dozen amateur MMA fights, and this being his, you know, sophomore mixed martial arts bout in the professional kind of ranks, like, are you a guy who like regularly, I guess, checks out footage on your opponent and everything like that and kind of curates a game plan from that, or are you focusing on your own individual refinement more so?
No, we definitely look at video if it's available. I know that a lot of the times, especially in the amateur circuit, sometimes it's a hit or miss whether there is actually footage or not. But whatever we can get our hands on, we do pay attention to. At the end of the day, I can only control what I can do on use in the cage. So there is like things we address, but at the end of the day, it's I can't control anything that he does. So I'm just focused completely on myself and making sure that I'm eating the right foods, putting the hours in, working as hard as I can, and making sure that I'm staying healthy for this one. And you know, I know he's game, and I know he's ready to come in there and try to take the win from me. But I think he's in for a rude awakening, and I'm really looking forward to getting in there and getting to a scrap with him.
And in terms of like stylistic attributes of his that you might have seen in kind of checking out some stuff, like what do you think he really does well in your estimation?
From what I've seen, he has a strong like traditional martial arts background. The way he kind of moves, the way he kind of throws his kicks, it tends to be a little bit more, I want to say it could be wrong, but I feel like it's a little bit more karate influenced. I don't see a very like strong Muay Thai fundamentals there, but obviously that's dangerous in its own right. You know, he's gonna have good footwork, those kicks are gonna be pretty fast, but at the same time, this is not kickboxing, this is MMA, and I'm willing to take it anywhere it goes. And if he thinks that he's going to be able to out kickbox me, it's going to be difficult to do so. And if he thinks that he's going to be able to dominate in the grappling area, I'm confident enough that I'm going to be able to take that area of the game.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it there because I saw you were the ECC Nova kickboxing champ there, and he's got some Waco experience, and like you said, definitely has like the hallmarks of like certain, you know, traditional, you know, martial arts stances and things like that. But I was also seeing you're quite adept at the ground as well and everything like that. So yeah, I mean, going to be an interesting one in that kind of sense. Really shows the, I guess, multiplicity of MMA, and it's like, oh, where could this one go? I mean, obviously they're, you know, experienced in the striking, but yeah, it could go, you know, innumerable directions, it would seem.
Yeah, and I'm willing to go anywhere. That's my biggest thing. I've always wanted to feel like I'm well-rounded and that I can take the fight wherever it needs to be taken to, right? You know, I'm not going to walk in there and just decide that I'm a kickboxer. I'm just decide that I'm a grappler. It's like you're limiting yourself in my mind. So having as many options for success that I can have, and I'm proud of that mindset that my coach Gavin Tucker and my father Peter Kelly has, you know, established into my roots and fundamentals, that it's better to be a jack of all trades than a master of one.
Yeah, and I was saying at one point too, like more on like an education kind of level, it seemed like you were looking to pursue like a physical education degree. Is that something you're looking to perhaps revisit once the competitive career has wrapped up, or?
That's something that I think is more down the line in the future. Right now, I'm actually working as a rehabilitation assistant at the QE2 hospital here in Halifax. So I'm enjoying the healthcare profession right now with helping people, mixed in with the fact that I, on a regular basis, go into the gym and beat up my friends. So it's a little bit of a balance for me.
Yeah, giving back to the universe almost. It's like, beat up a couple guys, help a couple people.
Definitely.
Yeah, no doubt, but this is going to be an intriguing fight, and it would seem that, you know, it's in pretty close enough proximity whereby perhaps, like, certain people can, you know, come and check it out, like maybe like family and friends. Are we expecting like a big partisan presence for this one?
So I'm originally I was raised in one of my MMA fights yet. So he'll be in the crowd supporting me. And I also have just like some friends out there as well. And I kind of consider myself a proud Atlantic Canadian because I've kind of been all over Atlantic Canada. The only place that I haven't spent a significant amount of time in is PEI. And even then, I've camped out there a whole bunch of times in the summer and stuff. So, you know, I've lived in Labrador for 3 years of my life. I grew up in Newfoundland, born. I've been spending summers out there for like a month at a time. And then now living here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, you know, as proud as I am to be a Newfoundlander, I really love Atlantic Canada. So I definitely know that I feel like I definitely have the hometown support in this bout coming up.
Yeah, so many intriguing facets to this one for sure, man. And I appreciate you making some time ahead of, you know, such a big fight in the mixed martial arts career. But, you know, I want to kind of put the ball in your court a little bit too, and you see if there's anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up, Jake.
No, man, I just appreciate your time. The fact that I was a little overjoyed to see MMA Empire reaching out for me and then getting in contact with you. It was a bit of a proud moment for me that I'm getting a little more recognition and stuff like that, you know, and seeing that this hard work is paying off in different ways. And I'm just excited to show up on November 19th and perform to the best of my abilities and come out with a big W.
Oh, well, I mean, mutual excitement in the sense of, like, I enjoy following the progression of the, you know, Canadian regional scene and a lot of great things happening in the, you know, East Coast with, like, FLA and stuff like that. So, yeah, cool. I could get a bit of time with you ahead of this main event fight coming up, man. And, yeah, just again to reiterate, thanks so much for that. And looking forward to, you know, checking out the fight when it goes down too, man.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
All right. On this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to headline FLA 6, which goes down on November the 19th. An intriguing flyweight bout with Jake Kelly and Nigel Croswell getting out there and testing skills. And happy to be talking to Nigel today. How's the training preparations going ahead of this one, man?
Training's been good. Training's been heavy. Just had my last sparring day on Thursday, so feeling good, feeling fresh, can't wait to get in the ring.
Yeah, and I've known you to train at like a few different kind of spaces over the years and stuff like that, just kind of doing some backgrounding. Like, where do you say the, I guess, main space you're training at nowadays? Because I saw like you were training at one point with like, you know, Steel Town Boxing Club and whatnot, but I saw on Tapology Croswell MMA was kind of the listed kind of affiliation. Like, whereabouts are you training nowadays?
So right now I'm at House of Champions in Hamilton, Stony Creek End. Down there we got a few upcoming pro guys as well with a lot of guys who are amateur in the amateur scene, amateur Muay Thai scene. Also down at House of Champions, there's Cal Nelson, Dina Bellabita, Mike Malott, stops by there sometimes. So there's a good pool of bodies down there and good scene.
Yeah, definitely an awesome gym and everything like that. Like, how long have you been kind of in that space a little bit? Because I saw, like, a few years ago you were kind of, like, training at, like, you know, Jocelyn's MMA and, like I mentioned, Steel Town Boxing Club. Like, how long have you been training at House of Champions for?
So I've been training at House of Champions ever since COVID kind of started. Out in Ontario, when everything kind of got shut down, the gyms got shut down, so there was nowhere for anybody to really train. I was training out of my basement for the longest time until stuff slowly started to open back up. Once stuff opened back up, I've been at House of Champions ever since, and that's been my home.
Yeah, some great looks over the years. I even saw, like, a few years back you were getting in work at, like, TriStar and stuff like that. What was that specific experience like?
That was good. I had a fight out on TKO. That was my first pro MMA fight. So when we went out to Montreal, we stopped by TriStar, got invited to stay there, do some work. It was a good experience there. A lot of good pro guys there to see, and motivating to see how hard those guys worked on there.
Yeah, and you mentioned TKO. I noticed you've gotten to, you know, compete for a couple, like, pretty reputable stages already, like, you know, that promotion, King of the Cage, for example. How much, if at all, does that kind of, like, embolden what you're doing and everything like that in your fighting career?
Well, yeah, I've seen the scenes all around, so I've been on over 10 promotions, and each promotion, you know, they've all had their up and down. So I've seen it, been there, kind of done it. So it's a comfortable atmosphere for me. So it doesn't matter what show I fight on, wherever I'm at, it's home, it's comfortable. Kind of treat it like my own gym.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. And I guess speaking to the point of, like, competitive comfortability, I was noticing you had over a dozen amateur MMA fights before you made the transition to pro. Like, how much of that amateur learning curve has, like, informed what you're doing and everything like that? Because it seems like the amateur scene is, you know, very much becoming a more prevalent thing in the last number of years and everything. So how much did that really lend to what you're doing to have that amateur learning curve before turning pro?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of guys now, especially because of the whole COVID thing and kind of shutting down the amateur scene in Ontario, a lot of guys are just turning pro so they can keep fighting. So I have a lot of... stuff. So, yeah, pretty much my record's pretty solid, so I'm pretty comfortable in around the belts.
Yeah, and the whole, like, you know, pandemic-related, you know, measures have been mentioned a couple times in this interview, and I was noticing that it's been a little bit since you've competed, obviously, you know, not for lack of trying, but about, like, 3.5 some odd years. But it also strikes me as a situation where you're, like, consistently training and getting in work. So, like, what's the excitement level coming out for this one? I would think you're almost going to show, like, a different version of, you know, Nigel Croswell altogether.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. Like, everybody, all my opponents are going to try to take me down. I expect my next opponent to do the same. I know he has some hands himself, but, I mean, I don't think anybody can match my stand-up game. So no matter what, they're going to be forced to eventually shoot for the takedown, and that's definitely what I've been working on ever since my last pro fight on TKO, and I've had a lot of time to do that with COVID and stuff. So really excited to kind of be able to showcase that finally and get in the ring after a big long layoff.
So like a lot of like anti-wrestling to, you know, keep it in the striking kind of range. That's been like the biggest area of improvement, you feel?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm ready to take it to the ground too if that comes the case. So I've tried to be comfortable both like on the ground and off standing up on the ground.
Yeah, and you've gotten to travel like a bit for fights, like as you mentioned, like TKO, like going out to Quebec, and I mean, like coming from like the Ontario scene and stuff like that. Like, what's the, I guess, temperament going out to the East Coast to, you know, get to have, you know, this top of the marquee fight for a promotion that's really been making waves in that specific part of the Canadian scene?
Yeah, I've seen FLA for a bit now. They definitely are a good upcoming promotion, so I am excited to be able to fight on this show. Traveling out east is going to be nice. Definitely one of the perks of being able to fight. I got some family and friends from Ontario that are out there now, so I'll have some local faces out in New Brunswick to be able to come and cheer me on as well. So I'm excited to be able to travel and go out there and see the new province and be able to put on a show out east.
Yeah, it seems like you're familiarized with your opponent too. Like, it seems like maybe you've checked out a bit of tape on him, like indicating like the awareness of his striking, but also that he has the ground game to kind of go with it. So is that kind of like a fair assessment? Like, you've, you know, checked out a certain level of tape that might have been available on him and all that?
Honestly, there's not too much footage that I've been able to find on my opponent, Jay Kelly, but what I've seen, he has some kickboxing fights, so I know he may be willing to stand, but I treat every opponent in every fight the same. I don't focus too much on one specific opponent. I believe, like, I bring my game, you bring your game, and we'll see who has the best hand. So I've just been working on my weaknesses, trying to turn them into my strengths, and we'll bring our game and we'll see who wins.
Yeah, I get what you're laying down there, but something I usually like to ask fighters about when I have them on the show is like what the backstory to the nickname was. And I saw on your Tapology it was the Black Lion. Like, what was the origin of that? Like, who gave you the moniker? Was there a certain story that kind of inspired it?
So Black Lion actually comes from my father. His name when he was doing Taekwondo competitions and stuff, that was his nickname that he went by. So I kind of adopted it and brought it on to the whole MMA scene, and
No, that's cool, man. I imagine there's the excitement in that regard, just seeing you grow in your own martial arts journey and carry on the name.
Yeah, for sure. And it's good to, you know, have my dad in my corner as well, because he's always kind of been there through my martial arts journey. He was the person who I first started training with. I'm at Hell's Champions now. I've been at Jawsons. I've trained with a lot of other people. But he has kind of been my root teachings. So it's always good to have someone who knows how you fight and knows your ins and outs to be in your corner as well.
Yeah, for sure. And you say in your corner, like, do you mean that in a broader supportive kind of sense, or will he be there for the FLA 6 main event in your corner?
No, yeah, he's my corner coach. Yeah, for sure. And also in a broader sense as well, yeah.
No, that's awesome. It's the perfect like combination of like, you know, martial arts expertise, but also like that comfortability of like someone close to you. I would think that would really, you know, pay dividends in that kind of fight situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, man. That's good to hear for sure. And yeah, it's been great getting to, you know, have you on the show and talk a bit about this upcoming fight. And I do appreciate the insights, but I also want to be mindful of the rest of your schedule and all too there, Nigel. So is there anything you may want to add as like a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
Well, just, you know, stay tuned. If you can't make it out east, there's going to be the pay-per-view. So tune into pay-per-view to watch the beatdown out east.
Yeah, people can do that on November the 19th. And yeah, going to be a great fight against Jake Kelly. And to reiterate, yeah, appreciate you coming on and giving some great insights. Looking forward to checking out the fight, man. And you have a good rest of your day, too.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the podcast.